CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Joseph Ellis. New book is The Cause, The American Revolution and Its Discontents, How the Participants Thought About the Conflict Over 8 Years, beginning, well, you can date it from 75 from Lexington Concord, but you can also date it from 73 in the Tea Party. Cornwallis, George Cornwallis, who wins some pointless battles, taking pointless towns, comes up against something that was always critical to the success of the American rebellion. That is, that there were sympathies everywhere throughout the colonies for defying the crown. And Professor, did Germain understand that? Did George III understand it, that no defeat of Washington's army or Greene's army was going to defeat the colonies?
I don't think they ever fully grasped the depth of the commitment at the ground level. And from the beginning of the, even before the declaration, these committees were functioning at the town level, committees of safety and inspection, enforcing a commitment to the cause. And essentially, it politicized the entire backcountry and countryside. And what it did was meant you could not remain neutral. I would think that 40% were for the cause, about 20% were against it, and 40% in the middle wanted it to just go away. And that 40% in the middle couldn't remain in that position. And because of the control in the countryside by local militia and by townspeople. So you had a house and your neighbor would come up, and if you don't sign, you're going to be marked as a traitor, and eventually we're going to burn your house down. We're not going to kill you, but we're going to drive you out. And that's the control of the countryside is the crucial thing that means that the British are never going to be able to win the war.
Washington's vision is the battle for New York. He wants the men to conduct a siege because Clinton is parked in New York. He's not going to leave it. The battle is in the Caribbean. The battle is with the fleets. Washington is frustrated. Rochambeau arrives with 5,000 French troops, I believe, beautiful troops. But they have orders not shared with Washington, if I read correctly, that they're not to operate north of where the fleet can easily reach in hurricane season. That would be the Chesapeake Basin. So it is now April of 1781. Everybody's frustrated. Both sides are losing. There's a thought that there's going to be a peace deal, meaning that when we sign an armistice, you're going to keep the land that you occupy. Therefore, the British plan is to grab as much of Virginia as we can and hold on to it, so we'll have something after the armistice. Washington sees this plan. He agrees with Rochambeau and others that perhaps they have an opportunity to defeat Cornwallis, who amazingly has parked himself in the Yorktown Peninsula. Professor, was that an order to Cornwallis? Was that his thinking that the fleet will arrive and rescue me? Why did he put himself in that trap?
He was ordered to by General Clinton, his superior, back in New York, because Clinton believed that the French and American army was going to attack New York, where he was, and he was going to need a portion of Cornwallis' troops. So he wanted them to be on Yorktown Peninsula so they could easily move up. He doesn't realize, does Clinton, until it's too late, that the Continental Army is going around New York and going all the way down to Yorktown. And it's uncharacteristic of Cornwallis' behavior. Cornwallis was an aggressive person. He didn't like to fight in the defensive, and he really didn't get along with Clinton at all and had disobeyed his orders on many occasions. But here is one occasion when he does not disobey his orders. He stays on the Yorktown Peninsula. And again, Providence, the French fleet coming up from the Caribbean happens to get there at just the moment that Cornwallis's army is on the Yorktown Peninsula and can trap him there. And the only reason it's coming up at that time is that the French Navy wants to get out of the Caribbean during the hurricane season. So, again, Washington Providence seems to be on the American side here. All things had to happen in the right way and in the right sequence, and they do, and they got him trapped.
Yes, de Grasse, the leader of the French The French Navy contingent here is very aggressive and sophisticated. However, again, Providence, the best British Royal Navy commander is laid up with an illness, so they send a man whose name is Thomas Safe Harbor Graves, not very aggressive. It's a several-day battle, September 5th to 9th, 1781. The Battle of Yorktown is won at sea, but Washington and Rochambeau and others, chiefly it's a French victory. Remember that always when dealing with France, that without and because of, etc. We come now with Washington's final victory. He has won over Cornwallis. Cornwallis surrenders everything. The battle appears to be imminently successful. However, Washington doesn't believe it. Is that correct, Professor? Even after Yorktown, he thinks the war goes on.
That's right. I mean, he doesn't trust the British. He thought they should have stopped the war when France came in. And here, a few years later, despite the loss of an entire army, he doesn't think they're going to give up. And again, if it was just left up to George III and Germain, they wouldn't. But by then, they don't have the votes in Parliament anymore. People are tired of the war. The British have suffered 50,000 casualties. It cost them £1.5 million. It's time to get out of this thing. And the Britain has never admitted in retrospect that they've lost the war. They simply said they decided to cut their particular losses. But Washington keeps his army intact up in Newburgh, just north of West Point, for a year. And the army is being trained as if the war is going to keep going on. There is a bit of a rebellion there amongst the troops who have not been paid or are not promised any pension. And it's one of Washington's finer moments when he speaks to the troops to tell them that to rebel and to... And they offer him the command, and he would be dictator for life if he did it. And he, of course, resists it. He's the aficionado of exits. And so it's another moment in the war. It's not a military moment. It's a political moment when events could have gone the other way. And it's Washington and Washington's character that makes a difference there.
The book is The Cause, The American Revolution and Its Discontent, 1773 to 1783. When we come back, John Jay and Count Aranda, summer 1782. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.